Hello there, Nicola Barden here from Q102's Weekend Buzz. I hope you are all doing really well and thank you so much for pressing play today to listen to this episode. Before I let you listen to the whole thing, I just have a little bit of news for you. So if you're a fan of the Weekend Buzz or this is the first time you've ever listened to it, amazing and thank you, and scroll back. We've got over 70 episodes there, so there's some great chats for you to listen to from the likes of the cast of SVU, from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Grey's Anatomy, loads of stuff, some amazing singers, reality stars. Great in-depth conversations for you to enjoy. And I know that's what you're here for. So that's why I have to tell you my news. I have rebranded the show and it is now strictly podcast. So it's no longer on radio. It is just podcast and it goes under the name Tis Yourself. So do come and find us. We're on Instagram and Twitter and obviously all the places that you're listening to podcasts. So if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, Google, CastBox, Good Pods, Spotify, we are there. I am there with my over 50 guests, fantastic guests. You're going to love some of them. They're absolutely amazing. So we've got some of the cast from like Games of Thrones, Breaking Bad. Yes, Breaking Bad and Game of Thrones. Can you believe it? Some amazing singers like Shane Ward, Matt Cardle are there. We have the actor Jerry O'Connell, who has some surprising roots to Ireland, you won't believe. We have the likes of Tom Lenk from Buffy, who played Andrew. If you're Irish, you'll know the names James Patrice, Trisha's Transformation, Tommy Fleming, the Nolan family. There's loads and loads of stuff in there. We've Sarah Jane Dunn from Hollyoaks. We've got some cast of EastEnders. So there's a real mix of Irish, UK, US guests, and we're just adding to them every single day. We're getting some new guests. Season 4 is just about to be launched. So come and join me. I'm over here waiting for you to discover me. That's Tis Yourself with me, Nicola Barden. Hope you enjoy this episode.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
The Weekend Buzz with Nicola Barden.
Welcome back to The Weekend Buzz here on Dublin's Q102 with me, Nicola Barden. Now, we all know that this year charities are struggling. We hear it everywhere. We're hearing the cancer charities, we're hearing the homeless. There are so many different ones. And one that is very personal to me is Threshold, because they helped me out quite a lot when I was going through a situation which was leaving a bad situation in a house and stuff like that. And they're so helpful. They give so much to people who are struggling, who may be evicted at the worst times of the year. And now they are looking for a bit of help, and they're getting it from some very famous faces. There's the 12 of Christmas for Threshold has seen celebrities like Tom Von Lawler, Brendan Gleeson, Pauline McGlynn, Peter Coonan, all these people reading out stories for a cost of €10 for kids, for adults. And one other person who is doing that is the lovely author and Irish crime writer of the year, Louise O'Neill. How are you?
I'm very well, Nicola. Thanks so much for having me on.
As I said, you've added a new bow to your lot of strings that you have. Irish crime writer, that was announced. We saw it on TV the other night. Are you buzzing? How are you feeling?
I mean, I was really shocked when I heard, because obviously, you know, this is my first attempt at writing a crime novel, and crime in general in Ireland is just, the standard of it is just phenomenal. And you know, the category, the other authors were amazing. So it really did feel just like such an honour. I was genuinely thrilled. But I've been thrilled with how people have responded to After the Silence anyway. People seem to have, you know, seem to be really enjoying it. And I think that this year has been so bleak that for many of us, I think reading or, you know, Netflix or, you know, whatever it is, I think those kind of small pleasures have been really important.
Oh, definitely. It's like when the
the restrictions were lifted and I could go to the library. I think I got like 9 books out or something.
Oh,
like
I
that.
Love that.
I was like, and then they went lockdown again. I was like, oh, okay. But I think you're right. The books take us away from a bit of reality. But also, it's this weird thing about Irish authors that in every other genre, you love music and you might love Irish music, but you'll also love international music and you may have your favourite singer, maybe, you know, someone in America, maybe an English singer, and you're like, yeah, I also love Dermot Kennedy, let's say. But there's this thing about Irish authors, we don't even feel like we need to venture outside Ireland because the writing here is so amazing.
I love that. Yeah, I mean, I will say that there are some, I mean, there's always been incredible writers, you know, whether it's, let's say, a Maeve Binchy or a Marion Keyes. And I think, you know, I know even now when I'm being sent proof copies of new books that are coming from emerging Irish authors, like, the talent out there is really exciting. Like, I just see the people that are coming up now, you know, in their early 20s. And I just, they're brilliant. And the confidence of, you know, just themselves and the writing is really, it's just, as I said, it's just really exciting.
And was it a conscious decision by you to go into crime, or did the book just kind of end up being a crime book?
I mean, I suppose, you know, Nick, in my career, I've written in sort of a few different genres. You know, I've written dystopian, I've written contemporary, I wrote a fantasy retelling of The Little Mermaid. So it's more, I suppose I'm less confined or constrained, sorry, by the idea of genre and more by, I suppose, led by the story. And with After the Silence, you know, which is about this notorious unsolved murder, and then, you know, two documentary makers coming to make a true crime program about it. I think it became very clear early on, okay, this is a crime novel. And as I said, I was quite nervous about that just because the standard of crime in this country is so high. And, you know, I have so much respect for, you know, a lot of the crime authors who are working in the genre. So I suppose I felt sort of under pressure to do my best with this.
Oh yeah, you're like, okay, so you're putting me up there with Liz Nugent, etc. Okay, yeah. That's fine, yeah, I can do it.
Well, Liz is really like in a league of her own, so we won't say that, but I was very honoured to be in the same category as her at the awards.
Yeah, look, I think everyone that was in the same category as you, but a lot of the categories, like, even if you're not into crime, there was amazing people there. Like, a lot of them, I think this was the first year that I would have read majority, like, I've always read a lot of the books on this year. I was like, yeah, no, I've read that one, I've read Graham Norton, I've read Marion, if you know that kind of
yeah.
one. You're like,
yeah.
I don't know how people pick, though. That's the only thing.
I know. I don't know. I think they probably just flip a coin or something.
This is the one I read most recent. Okay.
Yeah.
But you're doing a different kind of reading now because you're helping out Threshold with this 12 Bedtime Stories of Christmas.
Yeah, well, it's funny, even when you were talking there about it, just how important stories have been through lockdown. And when I was approached by Threshold to be involved with this initiative, I just thought it sounded amazing. I mean, as you said, like, they are such an incredible service. You know, they're truly like a frontline service. They are, you know, like, they, and I suppose what's so interesting about them is that they are a preventative service because they know that, I suppose, you know, the emotional cost and the financial cost of homelessness is so high, and it's such a frightening spiral that, you know, it's very difficult to break out of. And Threshold, I suppose, is stopping homelessness before it happens. And I think, you know, I've been approached by quite a few different charities, and I just thought this initiative was so interesting because, you know, it's a fundraiser really with a difference. Like, it's just this amazing collection of stories, and they have more than 60 authors and actors and entertainers. You know, like, as you said, Brendan Gleeson and Hozier and Tara Flynn and Emmett Kerwin you know, David Norris. And it's just amazing. And you know, I suppose I chose a book called, I read an extract from a book called The Miracle on Ebenezer Street by Catherine Doyle, which is like this really magical retelling of a Christmas carol. It's been so fascinating to sort of see the stories that the other contributors have chosen. And I actually, like, I signed up because it's, you know, it's €10 a month. It's until December 31st. And all you have to do is go to www.thresholdbedtimestories.ie or search for Threshold Bedtime Stories on Google. And, like, you're just supporting such an incredible cause, and you're really helping to prevent families from falling into homelessness.
But that's a really good point, because we'll donate money to the Samaritans and to our two Focus Ireland, you know, and to all the different, the Dublin Simon community, and they're doing the job for the people who are out there at the moment. But preventative is what we should also be focusing on, so that we don't have to get to the point of someone needs help, they're on the streets or they're at emergency accommodation. They're like the likes of Threshold, they'll help legally. They go in and they give services for free to help represent tenants, which is so important in a time where people are losing jobs and they don't really know where they stand, if they're legally they can be kicked out in the street or not.
100%. And it's so wonderful to think that there's like a free, confidential, you know, phone line that you can ring, you know, even if it's about like an unreasonable rent increase, or, you know, like a threat of eviction. And, you know, they will act as a point of contact, you know, between you and your landlord. Like, I just think it's a really brilliant service. And I love that they've been so, I suppose, innovative at stories, because I've been listening to some of them and they're just wonderful. I mean, I want to listen to Brendan Gleeson as I'm falling asleep. Like, I want Brendan Gleeson to, like, read me a bedtime story. And now with Threshold bedtime stories, he can.
Can you imagine just like if somebody walked by your house and heard it but didn't, and they're like, yeah, Brendan Gleeson in there.
Yeah, Brendan and I are great friends. No, I'm kidding. Can you imagine?
I also, like, I'm dying to hear Tom Von Lawler's, because he intrigues me so much between playing Nidge as such a, you know, a hard Dublin criminal character, and then he's such a lovely, quiet man in person. I'm like, I wonder, does he slip into Nidge's voice in character or something like that?
Maybe not,
you know?
The most soothing, Nicola, for us.
Yeah, maybe not for
bedtime story.
Yeah, maybe he should stick to the crime novels doing that, maybe, or something. But like Hosier, his voice is amazing. Like, so to try and have him like soothe you off into sleep.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. And I suppose it's that sense where, you know, you feel like you're doing, you know, you're supporting this incredible charity, but, you know, you're also getting, you know, this great entertainment, and that, you know, that you can maybe listen to it with your kids. And as I said, there's just the caliber, like over 60, you know, authors and actors and, you know, all these people, you know, famous people have contributed. And I just think, what an amazing initiative and what an amazing thing to support at Christmas time.
As you mentioned, you know, a lot of charities have probably reached out to you and to other celebrities. It's very hard to kind of, and it's hard for normal people as well to go, who do I support? Well, I only have a little bit of money, or only have a little bit of time. Who do I help? And especially this year, you're kind of like, I know everybody needs me. Everybody needs money and stuff.
Yeah. I suppose, you know, it's like anything. As you said, you can't support everything. And I think it's really about trying to choose, you know, the charities that are the closest to your heart. And I know for me, you know, that, you know, tends to be, you know, for women, you know, let's say Women's Aid or the Rape Crisis Centre, or, you know, and homelessness, and, you know, charities that help children. So I think there's certain things that, but, you know, for someone else that might be entirely different. But I do think that, I suppose, everybody can empathise with the idea, I suppose, or the fear of, like, losing your home at winter, which is why I think Threshold is doing such an incredible job, because, I mean, really, everybody deserves a safe place to rest their head at bedtime.
Oh, completely. And I think it's a wonderful thing. And, you know, it's something different as well. It's not just like, you know, text and donate, which is amazing because people use their credit. But like, it's something that's kind of going, I get a benefit out of this as well. So, you know, you're being a bit selfish. It's just grand.
Exactly.
And apart from that, Louise, how have you been, like, how have you been doing? Because the book has been out now and, you know, you had that done, I'm guessing, but way a while ago, so like lockdown probably would have been a perfect time for you to be writing your book, and then it's like, oh, it's done.
Yeah, I mean, I tried writing something new, but I have to say during the first lockdown, I just felt so paralyzed by just a sort of anxiety and an existential crisis, that I didn't end up, I couldn't seem to focus, I couldn't write, I couldn't read, and it took me a little bit of time actually to get out of that. But I'm working on something new now at the moment, and it's been, do you know what, it's been really lovely. It's been lovely to have a focus and to feel like, I don't know, I have some sort of purpose again, because I think we all need that at the moment.
Oh yeah, well, I'm just glad to hear that after writing a book that you didn't go straight in after lockdown, because I was like, I did nothing in lockdown one and I have nothing to show for it.
I honestly, I hate, I cannot bear all of this, you know, oh, I'm going to learn a new language, or I'm going to learn how to play the ukulele. And like, just let everyone just relax, and let's just, like, we're dealing with some, you know, like a global pandemic, and I think that it's okay just to survive this. You know, we don't have to constantly be endlessly efficient or productive.
Oh yeah, I can hold my hands up and say I did not make any banana bread.
Oh god, now I feel bad because I did make the banana bread. Okay, I feel like I've let the side
down. No, you do it, girl. Look, there's so many people that I've spoken to, and they're like, so I took up cycling, and now I can cycle 52 kilometers, and I've also lost 500 stone or whatever, and I'm like, right, I watched Netflix. I read a book over a space of a couple of weeks.
You know what? That's fine. That is absolutely fine, Nicola. You know, you just have to just be gentle to yourself, and we're going to get through this.
And like, I suppose we're writing a book for you. Is you kind of do like a lockdown version when you're writing a book? Because I know you've gone off social media when you're writing, because it's it's obviously a distraction and stuff like that. So I suppose going from that to into a real lockdown would be is.
I mean the first one was still terrifying, and I think that it's very different when it's a choice and when it's something that you're doing yourself, as opposed to when, you know, the whole world feels like it's kind of falling apart around you. I think that for most people it was just, it's very hard not to internalize, I think, that fear and all of that anxiety and the uncertainty, and you know, it's been such a hard year for people, you know, who have lost loved ones, or who have, you know, lost their jobs, or, you know, it's just been really difficult. I suppose we're kind of facing into quite a difficult Christmas again. And I suppose, you know, as I said, it is going to be particularly difficult for people who are facing some sort of financial crisis that might mean that they're at risk of losing their home, which is just to bring it back to threshold is why, you know, if you can contribute that 10 euro, you know, if you could just go to threshold bedtimestories.ie and sign up there and just check it out, because it really is a wonderful initiative.
It really is, and it's the sort of thing that a lot of people have the Calm app, or they listen to meditation just before bed, and this is a home version of that, just with some wonderful stories. And what's the name of the book again that you're reading from?
It's A Miracle on Ebenezer Street by Catherine Doyle, which honestly, if you're looking for a stocking filler for like an 8 to 12 year old child this Christmas, it is the perfect book for that.
And if you're looking for an adult, After the Silence is also out now. Louise, you're such a star, and fair play to you. And as you mentioned, it's thresholdbedtimestories.ie, and people can get them up until the end of December for just 10 euro.
That's it.
Listen, thank you so much for chatting to me this morning, and congratulations once again.
Thank you so much, Nicola.
Author Louise O'Neill there, and that was chatting about thresholdbedtimestories.ie. And obviously, as I mentioned, her book After the Silence is also out now. You can get it in all good bookshops. Also where you can get Ruth's book, Twilight Together. Look, giving all the plugs. Fair play. Look, you have these are ways of supporting Irish books. And then obviously with Ruth Ann earlier, Irish music. So download that single Together at Christmas. Listen, it's been a great show. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're listening to us on the podcast, thank you. Take a little scroll through Apple, through Acast, or through Spotify there, and see if there's any other interviews that tickle your fancy. I really appreciate every single listen. Believe me when I say that, I really do, because it just means so much to me. I'm not up there with the Blind Boys or the the Durrans or whoever else. So I actually honestly get so buzzed when I see even one listen. So thank you so much. Listen, look after yourselves, stay safe, and I will chat to you this time next week. Good luck, goodbye. Slán.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. It really means a lot to me and I really hope you enjoyed it. Do scroll back and see if there's anything else that you might enjoy. And before I let you go, do remember to come and find me on my new podcast, Tis Yourself. Again, talking to celebrities, this time a lot more in depth. So there might be longer episodes there. And we're talking about what was life like before they became famous, the different alternative roads they could have went down, how life changed for them, for good and bad, and so, so, so much more. And of course, the thing that they're best known for. So come and find me, Tis Yourself with Nicola Barden. And I really hope you'll enjoy the new episodes. They're up to date. They're brilliant. There's some great people there. And I'd love your support. So please do come find us. That's Tis Yourself with Nicola Barden.